Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Well, his name was Jerry. He was born September 1940. Shortly thereafter, after he was born, his dad joined the army and served in World War II. Now, he had a little brother who was just a little bit older than him. And his mother found that she found it very difficult to care for her sons. So the county came and took them, put him into foster care. And shortly thereafter, they were put into an orphanage. Well, Jerry stayed there until the age of 18, having been there since an infant. So upon the age of 18, he graduated from Ponca City High School. And, well, when you turn 18 there in the orphanage, well, they turned you out. And as Jerry put it, just with the clothes on your back. Well, Jerry wanted to see his dad because his parents never came back to the orphanage to see him, ever. So he went and saw his dad, hitchhiked all the way from Oklahoma to Alabama where his dad lived. Well, when he got there, he found that his dad didn't have much means to take care of either one of them. So as he found that his dad, who had served honorably, in fact more than honorably there in World War II in the Pacific, well, he decided that he would go into the service. So in 1959, he joined the Air Force, and he served there until 1963. Well, he got out of the Air Force and was out doing things on his own and realized that, well, he needed a job, needed regular employment. So he went back into the service, this time, not just the Air Force, he went into the Navy. And there he became a radio man. And so he was in a ship listening to the enemy communications off the coast of Vietnam in the early part of the war. And it was after that that he left the service there in 1965. And in both instances, Jerry served with honor and was discharged accordingly. Well, from there, Jerry bounced around, having lived in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas. And he was never really forthcoming about his life. Jerry lived with the challenges of mental illness and the effects of smoking for so many years. Somewhere along the line, Jerry was baptized shortly after he entered the service in 1959. And when he was living in Topeka, Kansas, he joined the Lutheran Church, went through adult confirmation, and became a Lutheran in 1993, and later transferred out to the church that I would become pastor at sometime in 1998. And it was just a few months after that, 1999, that I went to serve in Topeka, Kansas. And there I met Jerry and got to know him, got to know how he had many struggles in his life, having bouts with mental illness stood only to put distance between you and others. He had a legendary temper, and you might be on the receiving end of that temper, but as was the case just about every time, a few days later, he would repent of such anger and ask for forgiveness. Well, time came along, and, well, went along there, and Jerry recognized that he needed more help in his personal affairs, and he asked me to help him out. Now, before I agreed to do that, I wanted to find out about his family. And, you know, it's like, well, you know, do you know anything about your family, where your brother is, and all those kinds of things? And he said, well, his dad had died a number of years earlier, so he was out of the picture, and he didn't know where his brother was. Hadn't seen or talked to him in at least 25 to 30 years. So I asked him if it would be okay. He got his permission there to, if I could see if I could find out where his brother was, or even where his mother might have been. He had no idea where his mother was. So after a while, I was doing some searching and tried to find his brother and couldn't. So I came back and told Jerry that, you know, I tried to find your family and couldn't find anything about him. He wasn't too surprised at that. But then again, he asked me, like, hey, I need some help. And so I began to help him. Now, one of the things that I do is that Jerry here, well, he liked to go by the church. Because I'd take him out, and we'd go out and just drive around. He was no longer able to drive, so I'd drive him in his truck. He was very proud that he had a truck, and it was actually the first vehicle that he ever paid off. So I drive him around in it. Sometimes we go get a shake and we drive up to church because at the time we were building a gym and a preschool. Now he wanted to see the gym in particular because it just reminded him that when he was living there in the orphanage, he helped build the gym at the orphanage. So I always drew comfort by seeing that. Now Jerry was a guy that you could love very much, actually. He's a funny guy, liked to joke around, liked to give you a bad time, and if you gave it back to him, he just enjoyed that all the more. But Jerry also, though, well, he had those struggles. And if ever he started smoking a lot, well, then his oxygen level would drop. And when that would happen, then that's when he started making poor choices and then started getting angry, and he'd start saying some very ugly and mean things to you. And it became hard to love Jerry, much less just even like him. And the hard thing for Jerry was that after a couple of days, he would come out of one of those slumps, and his oxygen level would go back up, and he would remember everything that he said, and he felt awful about it. And then Jerry would ask for forgiveness. Now, depending on how many times that you interacted with Jerry, you could be on the receiving end of that anger quite a lot. And it'd be kind of hard, quite frankly, to accept his apology. And it was at those times, in seeing Jerry like that, and him struggling, and then coming back asking for an apology, after having done that so many times, that he forever, in my mind, is linked to this passage that we have here today. Peter, asking Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times?" And how does Jesus respond? No, not seven times, but 77 times. With Jerry, depending on how long you knew him, you could hit seven times very quickly. And if you knew him for any length of time, well, you'd get even more. And Jesus is saying to us that, no, you need to forgive not just at seven times, but at 77 times. And what Jesus is really saying here is that, well, you need to forgive not just a small number, but a large number, a very big number. High enough that Jesus says that if your brother comes back asking for forgiveness, then you forgive your brother. Jesus is saying as long as they come back asking for forgiveness and trying to do better, then every time they come back, you forgive. Every time. Today, Jerry seems like a perfect example of this passage in Scripture. Now, whether Jerry would recognize himself as the one who needed to be forgiven, not just seven times, but 77 times, I don't even know if he'd even notice that. But you could see Jerry felt remorse for his actions. Numerous times he asked for forgiveness, and many times I forgave him, and many times many other people did as well for his outbursts. He realized that he had troubles. How about you? Do you know a Jerry? Perhaps you are a Jerry. Do you know an individual who can't help themselves, or so it seems, that they sin against you time and again? Perhaps it is you that is the sinner. You are sinning against someone else time and again. Maybe you're vocal about things, like Jerry was. Or maybe you don't vocalize those things, but just keep them in your thoughts, and instead of speaking them, you're certainly thinking them. Maybe your sin is in some other way. There are 10 commandments, you know. 7 of which apply to our relationships with other human beings, and 3 that apply to our relationship with the Lord. I'm afraid when it comes to dealing with the Lord, we are like Jerry, sinning against the Lord all the time. And that's precisely why God the Father sent Jesus. Jesus came to take the punishment for all the Jerrys out there and for all the time that we have been like Jerry. Jesus went to the cross earning the forgiveness of our sins. So every time we sin and come back and confess those sins, they are forgiven. We sin every day. All the time. But we keep coming back every Sunday and confess those sins. Think about this. you worship 7 times a year, right? I hope a whole lot more than that. But think about it there. But when you come to worship and confess your sins, you are forgiven. How many times have you done that in your life already? More than 7, I would venture. And as you go throughout the years and the older that you get, at least 77 times, I would say. Perhaps even more. The older we get, the more we appreciate the forgiveness that we receive from God. And if we appreciate that forgiveness from God, how much more do we appreciate the forgiveness that is extended to us from others when we sin against them? Or how much that, quite frankly, they appreciate the forgiveness when they sin against us and we forgive them? You see, Jesus is calling us to do that very thing. Forgive as we have been forgiven. Now comes the time to think about who you need to forgive. Jerry, like I said, knew he had troubles. But the one thing you may not know about Jerry is that he was more concerned about what the Heavenly Father thought about him than he did with others. He was always asking me, could the Heavenly Father really forgive all those times in which he had all those nasty verbal outbursts? Would God forgive him for that? Could God forgive all those repeated episodes of fits of anger? Well, these thoughts would prompt many conversations between Jerry and I, and about how great the Heavenly Father's love is for us. That God sent his Son to this earth to take the punishment for all those sins. When we confess our sins, we find that that forgiveness is there, no matter how many times we sin against him. And that is why Jerry would like it when I would bring him Holy Communion. For when we partake of Christ's body and blood there in the bread and wine, like we will do here shortly, there we receive the assurance that indeed, personally, our sins indeed are forgiven. And that forgiveness is given every time we confess our sinful actions to the Heavenly Father. The forgiveness is freely given because Jesus died on the cross for us. But one Tuesday afternoon, I went over and gave Jerry communion. And as part of that sacrament of Holy Communion, what do? Well, we confess our sins and receive forgiveness of those sins. And when he received Christ's body and blood there in the bread and wine, Jerry knew that he was personally forgiven. And afterwards, he turned to me and said, he goes, you know, John, we have a good father. And I replied back, Jerry, I couldn't agree with you more. That's important, because the very next day, the Heavenly Father called him home to be by his side. And I know he went to be by his side because he had faith in God. He had faith in his Savior, Jesus Christ. That same good Father is there for us too. That same forgiveness and love, well, and the promise of everlasting life, is given to all who have faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we can thank Jerry today for that reminder that no matter how many times we sin, when we go back to the Heavenly Father and confess those sins, they are forgiven every time. We have it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.